what do you know? We're on the radio. The John Curley, Sherry Elicker Show. Starring Sherry Elicker and you. Yes, you. Like, well, I don't want to be on the radio. Well, you can write to us. You tell us how much you agree, disagree, whatever you want to do. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. Come on in to that State Roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476. And I noticed my computer occasionally goes down. The job of the two of you is to talk about how much you miss me, all my great qualities. And I listened back to the show the other day when my computer went down. Hardly a nice word said about me. Just, you were just rolling on like I wasn't even there, right?
Okay.
All right, then. Thank you.
We'll try harder.
Okay. Oh, boy, oh, boy. So we know that Anheuser-Busch is hurting. They've lost about 17% of their sales. They were, like, number one or number two in beer. Now Coors has picked that up, and I think Modelo is going to be the number one beer because people said, you know what? I don't like your advertising. Didn't like what you're trying to sell. Didn't like the whole thing. So I'll choose this other beer instead of your beer. So they're experiencing the boycott. And Target as well. So Target decides they're going to hire this guy that's a Satanist to design these T-shirts, onesies and stuff like that. And all these trans activists were going to be having this there for Pride Month. And then people said, whoa, I don't like this either. Now, Target is seeing a decline in their stock value. They're also seeing some problems in their store. They've moved a lot of that apparel either out or sort of to the back. And they're back in the news. And I didn't realize, but they had hired a diversity chief who demands that white women, that's you, Sherry, get to work against America's systemic racism. So I don't know if you've been doing any of that recently, but I guess this fits in with the whole idea of the boycott Target. Is that this? Is there a cut? There's no cut on this woman. No, there's no sound on her. Did you read through some of her complaints, the woman in charge of diversity there for Target?
Yes. So her name is Kiera Fernandez. She's the chief diversity officer for Target. She says one of the hardest things in the world every day is black. Oh. And she talks about what Target is doing. They're spending $2 billion with black-owned brands by 2025. They're increasing their black workers. But here's what she would like to do.
This is what she wants you to do.
Yes. So she said that it was the role of white women to call out transgressions. I think the number one thing I would encourage white women to do is take the DEI learnings and use your voice so the woman of color in the room doesn't always have to. This was during a panel discussion, and then she singled out a white person that was on the panel and said, because whether it's right or not, there are places that you and I will go where your voice will be heard differently than mine. And that's why we're doing this work. That's why it's so important to have this conversation, because we can't ignore the systemic history that got us here and then the things we have to do differently to remove those barriers. So she's saying that that white women, I guess, would be perceived differently in a way that would be more effective, I guess, if they stood up. And I'm not exactly sure what she's asking people to do. I guess she's saying, if you see something that looks like something that's racial or, you know, unequal or something like that, then as a white woman, you have an obligation to stand up because your voice is going to be taken more seriously in certain circumstances.
Ah, okay. Well, listen, if you have that job, like, for instance, the woman that was hired for the equity office in the state of Washington, your job is to be a racist. Your job is to always group people by demographics and then assume a particular behavior based upon skin. That's it. Your job is to judge people by the color of their skin. Not the individual, but group them together and then take demographics. And then you have to say, well, if 13% of the U.S. population is black, we need to have 13% represented in this job. if it's 50% male and 50% female in the U.S. population, we need to have equal amounts of men and women in this job. And if there is any difference, if there is any disparate diversity or any sort of difference between those numbers, 13, if you only have six, well, then the reason you don't have the additional 7% is because of racism. And that's basically how it works. So what you're trying to do is an equal outcome. So, the difference being between equality and equity, right? The difference between equality and equity. So equality is that everyone is treated equally, regardless of the census category. Equity is the idea that everyone will end up in the same place. And then once everybody's in the same place, then we have equity. Well, that doesn't take into consideration that none of us are the same, right? In a family, the firstborn has a higher IQ than the second. And even when it comes to twins, the firstborn, sometimes even twins don't have the same IQ. Everybody has a variety of gifts, of detriments, weaknesses, and strengths. But the idea of equity is to break people into groups, never to judge them as a human being, as solely as an individual, but always through a group. So those people that have those jobs are basically racist, and they are in the act of discriminating. So you say we need to have a certain number of people to reflect the population. Well, why? How about actually choosing the best person? You know, there's an interesting sort of scenario I was reading the other day. A guy goes in, this is 10 years from now, a guy goes into the doctor's office, and the doctor says, well, it's cancer. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Get me the best doctor. I want the best doctor you can possibly get. Well, the brain tumor is located in such a place. I know. I want the best. Well, we don't, what do you mean the best? Who's the best doctor? Well, we don't judge them by best. What do you mean? You're asking for the best. I can't tell you who the best is. We have a black doctor. We have a black female. We had a black male. We have an Asian female. We have an Asian male. We have a Hispanic female. We have two Hispanic men. We don't judge by best. We don't use merit. That's not how we do it here. Well, I want the best, whoever the best is. Again, I don't know what you mean by best. I mean, that's an exaggeration of a case, but that is possibly because when you strip away all the other language that's used, merit is the key, right? And you see it in sports, but we don't talk about sports having equity. We talk about sports being purely a meritocratic system, the best. People would not pay any money to see a diverse baseball team or a diverse basketball team. It wouldn't be worth your money because you're not going to see the same sort of athleticism displayed. But in these cases, the people that are involved in this, their job is to discriminate based upon color. Hot take.
Well, this woman.
Excuse me.
Andrew is being spoken to by management, so he's distracted from his hot take duties.
Then I would like you to make the noise, Jacob.
I'm here now so we can compare and see how close it is.
Wow. He's not just going to save me outright. He's going to wait this out. It sounds a lot like a boosh. That's not bad. I think I did okay.
That was good. That was a 9 out of 10, I think.
That's pretty good. Okay, good. Thank you. All right. So, anything else you want to add, Sherry, or you want to question my hot take?
No, I don't want to question it at all. I just want to add one thing that she happened to mention. This is the woman, of course, that's the chief diversity and inclusion officer for Target. She said, mm-hmm. Given the calls for racial equity over the past year, we know that many companies are standing up for or deepening their investments in their diversity and inclusion work. DE&I is not meant to rest on one individual's shoulders. The work requires shared accountability and responsibility, which is why it's so critical to create an infrastructure, a system with tools that allow you to integrate DEI into your ecosystem in a way that truly drives your business. So she's all in. She thinks that this should be the backbone of a business.
Mm-hmm. The business of business, as Milton Friedman say, is not business then. So the business, all of these corporations that have decided to dive into this activism, and the same thing with the NBA and NFL, you know, painting Black Lives Matter on the, you know, in the end zones or on the sidelines. And it's like people, I don't need my beer to take a political point of view. I don't need a bathing suit. I don't need that. I don't need Target. I don't need any of these people that are involved in commerce to become political, to be activists. Just sell me a product that I want. I don't need to be taught anything. I don't need to be enlightened in any way, right? And that's what they're doing, because the people that are there that have those positions to do this marketing, they're all from the extreme elite. I mean, these are the people from the top of the ivory towers that have graduated from Harvard and Yale and University of Pennsylvania and UCLA and Stanford. And they're going to teach the rest of us that we're just a bunch of ignorant slobs and we should think the right way, start to come around and start thinking the right way. And the right way is to understand that, you know, there are multiple genders and that anybody can change their sex if they want. And, you know, everything that they want to push. And they're going to push it through the products. And it's like, here's a beer. Now let me lecture you about the way you're supposed to be thinking. And American people have said, nope, sorry. That's not what I asked for. I just wanted a beer. I just wanted a crappy beer that I can drink while I cut the grass. You know, I don't need the rest of the stuff.
Bud Light, I think, has lost 30%. Target has lost $10 billion in 10 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Because there's no place for the activism. Have the political person do that or have an activist do that. But once it's into the stores, I can imagine the 10 or 15 people sitting around the board there at Target. And when one person goes, I think we should hire this guy that's a Satanist that does all these kind of crazy t-shirts and stuff. And I think we should put all this trans stuff in and have onesies with, you know, trans exist and all this other stuff. We should sell that. I wonder how many people are sitting there going, I don't know about that. Or the people of Bud Light were like, really? Really? A guy in a bathtub? A guy that jumps around like a girl? A guy? Is that what we want? But I'm sure they were silenced. And don't say anything because you don't want to be called in. You know, it's like the Red Guard, China's Red Guard. These are the young women, the young men that took up arms against intellectuals and professors and teachers and anybody that had any kind of money and beat them with canes and put dunce caps on them and paraded them around and burned their houses down, you know, because they needed to have new thinking. They had to get rid of the old culture. This is the same sort of thing. This is the new culture that we're all supposed to be in lockstep with. And people have simply said, no, not for me. Sorry, I'll pick up a Coors Light. I went to the store on Memorial Day, and there was no Coors Light. There was not any. There was no Corona Light, but there it all was. There were cases and cases and cases of Bud Light. People just said, nope, sorry. Same way they walked away from the NFL and the NBA. They didn't want to be lectured to. I get it. Leave me alone. I don't need it. The meltdown continues for Bud Light. I don't know what they're going to do to possibly get out of it. They're offering cases of beer for $10. They have coupons. The stuff is just sitting on the shelves. I don't know if they'll come back from this. How do they possibly ever turn it around?
I don't think they can.
No.
I really don't. I mean, I think there'll be a point when it dies down, but they were trying much too hard to make up for it, you know, putting out the videos and the all-American thing and appealing to, their old demographic and doing, they did that too quickly. This needs to go away. This needs to settle down, and people will eventually go back to Bud Light, whether it be that the price is right or it's just not really on anybody's radar anymore. But that's going to take some time, and they're taking a big hit.
Yeah, I don't think they come back from it. Because I don't know how you turn it around, because the problem is that the two beers, or all those beers, are so similar. The Coors Light and the Bud Light, basically the same. It's fairly generic in its taste. It doesn't offer you anything specific that the other one doesn't. It's not like you can't live without it. You just pick up the other one, go get it. Plus, you could also sing along to this song.
Yeah, yeah. Touching on shoppers. Yeah.
Boycott Target song, Sherry.
Yeah, it's apparently
top of iTunes.
Yeah, I mean, it was released on May 25th. In the video, the rapper that's doing this holds up all these like kids' clothes that have rainbows on them and a different, you know, every one of these Target products. They actually shot the video in a Target. So they go through the aisles and they pick out different things. According to the article, they're number one on iTunes. They're beating Taylor Swift and Luke Combs. Which is kind of amazing, although he's saying now that they are being shadow banned. So in other words, they're making it more difficult to access the video and all of that. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of amazing because the song's so bad. I mean, even if it has a message, it's just terrible, isn't it? God, so bad.
I'm upset they're beating Luke Combs.
Yeah,
what Luke Combs song are they beating? That's my guy, Luke Combs. Come on now. All right. Thank you very much, Jacob, for doing the hot take. When Andrew is not there for hot takes, that will be your job. All right? And all other sound effects. You'd be like the guy from Police Academy. Okay. Let's see. Hold on. I'm going to come up with a really profound tease. Let's see. Hang on. Jacob, hang on. You ready? This is going to get him. Okay, coming up, let's see. It's just living. Ugh. Damn, Jacob, you give me these stories that are hard to tease. Oh, what happens when healthcare is free? The answer may shock you.
Oh, interesting.
How's that?
There's a little bit of a formula forming, I think, John.
All right, here's Nate.
Wow. Tough room about the teases.
Thank you, Sherry. Appreciate that. All right, Teeny, I got it. All right. Teeny loves those lattes they're making over there. She just made her one. All right. No, I put cold water in. I cooled it down for you. Okay. There you go. Bucky's Auto Service Centers. There's 16 locations. And anything. She's enjoying it, Sherry. Isn't it cute when she does that? When she rubs her tummy. 16 locations have been around. I'm in the middle of a spot, Sherry. It's been 53 years. It's Bucky's Auto Service Centers. All right. I said, when healthcare is free, the answer may shock you. I don't think this is so necessarily shocking. I remember during the whole presidential campaign, Bernie Sanders, we're going to give you free healthcare. Canada has it. Why can't we have it, right? Oh, they've got it in the UK. Why can't we have the same free healthcare? Well, you do pay. You pay in taxes. And in British Columbia, they're going to start sending cancer patients to Bellingham for treatment. Let's see. Here's the story. Oh, Chris Daniels. Chris Daniels from King.
In this land of free universal health care, there is now an unusual Canadian export.
A doctor has told somebody they need the radiation therapy.
Yes.
British Columbia is going to pick somebody up, bus them, take them across the border, get them through customs and border security, and get them to the clinic, and if need be, spend the night for multiple days of therapy.
Right.
That's British Columbia Health Minister Adrian Dix, who has made the drastic decision to send hundreds of breast and prostate cancer patients across the international border for radiation treatment.
Why didn't you anticipate this? I mean, if you knew that there was going to be a patient load that you couldn't fulfill.
First of all, we have had significant increase in population in BC. Secondly, and this is important, we have specific problems with machines, but I don't think people who are suffering right now and in this immediate period should have to wait when there's an option that was available to us to address it right away.
That will mean the Canadian government will spend up to $39 million a year in Whatcom County.
So this is the linear accelerator?
It's basically a machine that takes electricity and turns it into a very high-energy targeted radiation.
Dr. Alexei Polishuk runs Bellingham's North Cascade Cancer Center and already has 35 patients a day. It is one of two clinics designated for the program, which officially begins this week.
Okay, so why is this? Well, this is because Canada rations care. There's only two ways to control prices and to control the services. They ration it. So if you get a diagnosis in Canada from a doctor that you have a suspicious, something doesn't quite look right in your breast, we'll get you an MRI. Just go home and wait 10 to 16 weeks. If you want to see a specialist, Sherry, an oncologist, you'll wait 36 weeks. An orthopod, 22 weeks. because they don't have enough doctors, because they don't have enough machines. They have the people. They tax them to get the money for it, but they don't have enough of the services. So, yes, it's free if you are okay waiting. Can you imagine? It is. I tell you something. It is amazing. I had a something suspicious with some cancer, some skin cancer, and they said, "Oh," and then something with my hip. Doctor notices it, and then the next day, I'm at an MRI place in Bellevue. They get that. They send it to the doctor. 2 days later, I go in, sit down. Yeah, there's nothing. We're going to take care of it and find a thing. In 4 days from the time of detection to the time of diagnosis, prognosis, I'm a satisfied customer. Out the door I go. In Canada, waiting 26 weeks to see someone.
It's outrageous.
Hey, it's free. It's free.
Well, here's what I don't understand. So they're going to spend $39 million a year on bringing patients back and forth, back and forth. How much would one of those machines cost? It can't cost, I mean, couldn't they buy like four or five of these machines and bring it up to speed rather than, I mean, how inconvenient. If you're a cancer patient, you've got so much going on. And I've certainly had friends that have had cancer and they've had radiation. And I'll tell you, the last thing you'd want to do is be on a bus being, you know, trekking all the way across somewhere and having to deal with the logistics of that. Now, what they say is that there's a mandate that says you have to, that the wait times from diagnosis to radiation is 28 days in Canada. That's all that's what they have to do. Now, they're saying that 82% of the time they do meet that mandate. But people that are saying, anecdotally, they're saying absolutely not true. No, it doesn't. It takes much longer time than that. And it's just, I just don't understand why they're spending this much money on shipping patients to Washington when they could just buy the equipment for probably less money.
Because it is not market driven. And I should say that the healthcare system in the United States is not market driven either. Because you don't ever see the real price of anything. And whenever you eliminate price, you eliminate signals, and then you can't have a real marketplace. If you look at something like LASIK, so when LASIK surgery first started, I don't know, 20 years ago, the price was like $5,000 or whatever. It's a huge price. Well, then because it wasn't covered by insurance, you can now get it for like $99 an eye or $900 an eye or something. The price comes down because the market has expanded to meet demand, and then through competition, the price comes down. Our healthcare system is provided primarily by your employer, which took place during the Nixon administration when they decided they were going to stop inflation. They said, no more corporations cannot offer people more money in order to work there. So then the corporation's like, I got an idea, Shay. we're gonna offer you a whole bunch of benefits. We're going to pay for your healthcare. So that wasn't considered wage. That was healthcare. So then the employer stepped in and provided your healthcare. So you don't really know what anything costs. When I didn't have any healthcare, I got fired from King 5. I had to go get a colonoscopy, and I went around to like five places. What do you charge? What do you mean, what do we charge? Well, what's the cost for a colonoscopy? What do you mean? I said, I don't have insurance. I'm supposed to get this colonoscopy. Well, we don't really do it that way. Yeah, because the system is so busted now that we don't really have a real marketplace. But in Canada, the way they do it is they take a certain number of people, taxing them a certain amount of money. They collect all that money in a great big pot, and then they can't run out of that money. So they just ration the care. Plus, who wants to be a doctor in Canada where you are stuck with a certain amount of money you're paid? The same thing in the UK. They can't get people to be doctors because they can't make any money as doctors. So they're becoming lawyers. Less doctors, less service. Free the people. Tell the employer you want your own money to go into the marketplace. If you released 130 million people into the marketplace to shop around for healthcare with real dollars shopping, prices would change considerably. But we don't care. It's like somebody cut your arm off. Like, hey, what's that? That's a $10 copay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Right. We just have our head in the sand about it all.
Yeah, and by the way, that also affects your respiratory system. But if you're in Canada, you have to wait 36 weeks for somebody to tell you to get your head out of the sand. So if you are fortunate enough to get a Taylor Swift ticket, and you sit there at the concert or stand there and scream through the entire concert. And then the next day, someone says to you, hey, where'd you go yesterday? Did you go see Taylor Swift? What are some young teenage girls saying, Sherry?
No, they don't remember. They have post-concert amnesia.
Wow.
One
see,
lady
if I were
said,
a parent, I would tell my kid, no, I took you. You don't remember going?
Right.
Even if they didn't go?
Yeah. So I know that my cousin took his two daughters, $700 a ticket. I hope they remember. So if not, I would show them all of the things that I could have bought for that amount of money and remind them daily how much it cost.
Right.
But so this one girl said she forgot that Taylor Swift had played a surprise song. And the way she remembered is her friend showed her a video of her jamming out to it. But this is what they say. They say this is not uncommon that when you're around a big crowd, everybody is excited and screaming and doing all that stuff, that this is a high emotional quality through the whole thing. So your memory gets blurred because nothing stands out, right? There's no calm, there's no nothing. It's just this, you know, you're at a 10 the entire night. So the advice that the psychologist gives were people could try to jump up and down and scream a little less to control the excitement.
We've seen studies that people that listen to this show have the same experience that when the show ends, they can't remember anything about the show. And I think that's because they're jumping around and screaming too much.
Right. They're just,
it's not our hot takes on the show. Just generally they're in a state of such excitement that they just can't remember anything on the show.
Well, yeah. I mean, when the show starts, they just can't believe it. It's they're actually listening to us. How could this be? You know, what a gift. And then it's just the emotional thing is so high that they're just
right. That's why we have Jacob come on every once in a while and explain if he's ever been to a dinner party. Just to bring everybody down. Just bring them down. Long, kind of rambling answer to the dinner party question.
It's not true. He doesn't do that.
You want me to replay his dinner party answer that we had at 3 o'clock, Sherry?
No, because I think his dinner party answer was fine. I mean, it was fine. He said that's not, you know, that's not like what the people his age are doing right now. I don't remember going to a lot of dinner parties in my late 20s. I mean, maybe I did, but I'm not sure.
Here's a better question for that. By the way, there's the story we talked about earlier. Here's a better question that rather than is it okay to charge people after they come to your dinner party? Is it okay if you bring a bottle of wine and you notice that there's like 15 people or, you know, 25 people have come to this dinner party and everybody's brought a bottle of wine and there they all are sitting there on the table thinking they got more wine here than they're possibly ever going to be able to drink. Is it okay to open up your pants and jam your bottle down your pants and walk out when the party's over?
Oh, sure. Sure, why not?
Okay. All right, go around. Yeah. Andrew, okay to jam a bottle down your pants?
Yeah, no, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, it depends on how much. If it's like 10 bottles of wine, yeah. But if it's like 2 or 3 or maybe 4, you're toning the line a little bit too much there.
What kind of pants are you wearing? Going in
no,
there?
Don't take four
like
bottles.
MC Hammer pants? What do you got
on?
You
said that if there's a surplus of wine, so you have to be careful. There has to be enough wine. If there's too little wine, then it's going to like, what are you taking your wine away for? You got to be careful.
Yeah, right. No, that's what you don't, it's surreptitiously. Okay, good. Thank you, Andrew. Voice of reason right there on that one.